I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to another episode of the Dr. Supercoach podcast powered by Code Sports. You're on this week with Pistol, and I have the man who has not failed us yet in determining a captain pick, and that is Pig. Welcome back to the potty.
Thank you for the introduction, Pistol. A good start with captains this year, and plan to keep it going. And how'd you go this weekend for scores?
I mean, I'm happy enough that I didn't, go down in rank, but it wasn't a massively impressive week. 1955 was going to be difficult for me to go down from 77K, but I managed to move to 44K. So a big jump, despite not a brilliant score, just goes to show how tight it is. So fingers crossed this week, that's the best 22 rounds. I can make up some major grounds. I think this is like the only real chance, but if you have a stinker this week, you're going to struggle, I think.
Actually, that score you mentioned, I actually don't think that's too bad. Like, we were seeing some pretty big scores in Slack from some of our people, but just in the general community, I think that kind of mid-1900s is pretty solid, and you moved up like 30K spots, so
yeah,
heading in the right direction.
I mean, it doesn't feel like it, given... And we'll get into it a bit later, but I have Libba and Dawson, and it is incredibly painful every week watching the two of them just kind of suffer. Every other 600K player is pretty much dominated, and the two I chose are averaging like 100 flat and 82. It's not fun.
We need to compile all the 600K plus players and see what all their scores are. They might be the two lowest. Maybe we won't do that.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for that. And that was the rest of your week.
Mine was solid. I scored an 1897, so that wasn't huge. But I also knew that this was going to be a tough week for me. I was just planning to try and hover or tread water, I guess, because I had Tom Green on my bench and I also had $250,000 in the kitty waiting for this week. So I kind of had about $900,000 worth of dead money this week. So I was planning just to kind of tread water. I actually moved up 10,000 spots, so I'm at 26K now. So, this time last year I was like inside the top 1,000 and looking good. So it's hard when you compare it to that. But best 18 does some weird stuff as well. Like you said, I feel like it's hard to make up ground. So now this week I'm looking forward to, I'll be like bringing Tom Green back, bringing Sam Flanders back, and then potentially even bring another kind of near primo in as well. So I'm looking forward to best 22 and kind of coming in, throwing some haymakers and trying to make up some ground.
I think JB's snuck into about 2K overall, so he's flying at the moment. He's in with a chance, which is fantastic.
He's going really well.
I think we'll see how the dust settles at the end of the 6 weeks and I guess at the end of the season, but he really went strong on the guns and rookies, whereas I think you and I went a bit more mid-pricer, myself a lot more mid-pricer. And that seems to have been the slower starting option this year, which probably not too surprising. The rookies have just been phenomenal. They've all been scoring really, really well. But we'll go through those in a moment. Just if you hold tight with us, very briefly, I would like to run through the Cancer Council. And a big thank you to Mark for your generous donation. Says, as always, thanks for the advice. I couldn't get Chizo to join my Cash League, but he's in there as an alleged expert. I like that. And I've donated his entry fee. Go Hawks. So thank you very much, Mark. I really appreciate your donation. And Chizo loves chatting with you in our Gmail, which I see every now and then. And on the patron side, we had two signups. So big thanks to Brady Bennett and Angus Street. I hope you enjoy the Slack and you know what it has to offer. I will note for those wondering what's going on with the Last Coach Standing competition that we run in our Patreon every year. We're just having some technical difficulties. We basically were mass importing our groups into Excel and being able to do it that way, but we're just having some difficulties with the scraper at the moment. I think Supercoach updated some of their security settings, so thanks for that, I guess. Good for Supercoach, not good for us. Otherwise, Pig, I think we're ready to talk some Supercoach.
Yeah, let's do it. Do you have anywhere you want to start? Or if not, there's a few guys, I guess, talking about rookies either on the bubble or, you know, rookies that have gone up one price rise but still have a really low break even.
Yeah, so I think down back is probably the best place to start. We have Hoare ruled out now for 3 to 4 weeks with that thumb injury. So we've had Caulfield, who's out for long term. We had Zach Reed, that's gone. Gibkiss, we all know about. It's basically been a giant mess down back. And I imagine many people started quite thin down back. And unless you've traded with the intention of switching around your structure, given it's a best 22 week, there might be some many stressed people with Howes on their field at D6. First two questions for you in a row, Pig. If you had Howes at D6 and you had two non-playing bench options, is this a time to panic and use some trades to get some depth there, or you think it's fine? And on the other hand, if you were wanting to trade, who would you be targeting as a defensive rookie this week?
I feel like I haven't sent you my team, but you've essentially nailed what my predicament is, in that I do have Howes at D6, and then I've got Marty Hoare and Zach Reed on the bench in the ambulance. So I'm actually planning just to hold that as it is. Like, Howes had a 26, and that was horrible. But even with that score, he's averaging 62. I think he does bounce back, especially with Hoare kind of not being there to maybe steal some marks and kicks. I'm quite okay with Howes still being on field. Having no cover in my defense does seem a little bit risky. But just looking at like Dacos, Houston, Chisel, or Ryan, kind of Stewart, these premiums, I don't really see a reason why any of them would be a late out. Or if they are, we should know about it with a little bit of heads up.
Zach Williams, perhaps?
Yeah, he absolutely could be. So that is a concern, but...
I'm sorry for putting that out in the universe, by the way. I didn't mean it.
Now I'm just staring at that Zach Williams in my spot saying, don't you dare. I'm holding fat at the moment because I think they're saying Marty Hoare. Like, I did hear someone say 2 weeks. I did hear someone say 4 weeks. So he could be back in a couple. Zach Reed is targeting around 7 return, I've heard, which isn't that far away. And if we can hold on, so what are we now, around 4? If we can hold on for 3 more weeks without making those trades, then we also get DPP. And we could potentially, you know, trade out a Marty Hoare if he's not back and slide Matt Roberts or Nick Martin or Colby McKercher or someone back there.
Yep.
So at the moment, I'm looking at just holding steady with Hoare and Reed not playing on my bench. But that's mainly because I don't really like who I'd be trading them to. It's the main issue. We talked about Toby Pink last week. Not really. We both recommended against him, saying he's not really going to average much and won't make much money. I see that exact same scenario with Draper. I don't really see him being much of a scorer. Like, his waffle numbers were pretty tiny. He actually had a reasonable game, like, to the eye on the weekend, but I don't think he's consistently going to average a 60s that he probably needs.
Yeah.
Tom Brown for Richmond, he potentially could be an option. Like you just told me, he's got 260s. I haven't actually watched his game or know much about the Richmond team really to know what his job security is like, but I guess he could be one. Do you have any Tom Brown info?
I think, look, at the end of the day, Richmond have a lot of injuries, so there's a lot of place to come back. So everyone's kind of fighting for a spot. If you play well, you should keep your spot. Tom Brown's a first-round draft pick. He kicks the ball really well, which is a rarity, seems like, these days. I think he should – I mean, every Richmond supporter I've spoken to wants him to stay in the team. I don't think anyone's desperate for him to get out. So at 154K, I feel more comfortable with him than someone like Draper because of, you know, they've got Warner and Chapman and a bunch of other players returning, and they Fremantle just have so many defenders that they I feel like they can just shuffle around everything, which makes you feel really uncomfortable, plus that low scoring potential. So I think Tom Brown feels like a pretty decent one.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what happens, you know, if we let Tom Brown go, which I currently am, I don't really see anyone. Maybe if Warner comes back, I feel like he's 134K with decent scoring potential, but I'm not sure about his job security with you know, Chapman also to come back into that side and how they, you know, mix their back line up. We might just be stuck waiting for those DPPs in round seven, but after hearing your predicament, I think I'm with you where just wait it out. Like if you have Howes and look, if he has a bad score, it will suck for that 1 week. But then you kind of have 2 weeks off from having the stress about it. You get those DPPs to come back, and all of a sudden, instead of trading, you know, Caulfield or Reed to Draper, wouldn't you rather do Caulfield or Reed to like Clay Hall or someone, a midfielder that has good scoring potential instead? Like that feels like a much better use of a trade than getting some of these really defensive defenders who might not even get to a high enough price to cash out a good amount of money.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary that this week is the really risky week, especially for me now that you've pointed out Zach Williams. By the time I know Zach Williams is all laid out, Marty Hoare and Zach Reed will already be locked out, so there won't even be any like late switches.
He's not going to be out. I'm not putting him in the universe. It's fine. Not going to happen.
But after this week, if we get through this week unscathed, it is then best 18 again for two more weeks, and you kind of can hide behind that bubble where you, even if worst case scenario happens, you just kind of field 21 and that's not a big issue. So I am holding just because I don't really like anyone that I would be trading in their place. And also Hoare and Reed could both be back within 3 or so weeks. And if they're not, you know, there's guys we can DPP back there.
I actually played with 21 last week.
Yeah, so did
I. My DPPs got stuck in the forward line. So I
yep.
just copped it and it didn't really impact me very much. So actually didn't impact me at all. So that's fine. You know what? I'm jinxing it massively, but it's too late. I've already started the sentence. I have lost a total of, I think, 31 bench points this whole season, which goes to show, like, I've won rookie roulette nearly every single week. Round one, I only lost 29 points. Round two, I lost 2 points. I didn't lose points last week, I'm pretty sure, because of the best 18. Obviously, that helps. But that's how bad my team is. I've managed to maximize my rookie points, and I'm still doing so badly. Wow. That's impressive, a lot of people isn't that would, it?
Yeah, a lot of people would kill for that rookie roulette win you've had. When we get to the forward line, there's four guys that are, and I think you've got similar four, that we might just have to play rookie roulette live and I'll take your picks.
Oh my gosh, yeah, and I'll probably have to take your captaincy picks given I'm flopping about missing all of those left, right and centre. So,
well, you captained Jordan Dawson 2 weeks ago and that wasn't in my recommendation, so you've gone rogue.
Yeah, no, I did captain Bont this week, and for a moment there, you know, at quarter time, I was like, oh, thank God, I can finally relax. I've hit one captain the whole season, and then it went to sheer panic.
Yeah,
in quarters two and three, I'm like, oh no, am I actually going to have captained a sub ton 2 weeks in a row? And Yeah, I mean, I'd say it worked out okay. But I've missed every good captaincy score this year. But to be fair, I don't have many of them in my team. So, what can you do? So, quick one for you, because I know some people are restructuring and they're looking at defenders, and everyone's looking at Luke Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, he's averaging 140. He's extremely expensive. You know, you're paying up for Luke Ryan, 644K. Is he worth 644K? Just I guess flat out.
My gut feeling is that Luke Ryan always becomes available for under 600K at some point of the year. He's just one of those guys that, like, he often goes on streaks like this where he looks incredible, but then he'll find a way to put out four kind of 80s or 90s in a row. Like, maybe this year is different because Hayden Young's moved to the midfield and he's kind of got full control back there. I would say he does still have a couple of really good matchups for defenders coming up, so he could actually just keep going up in price. Like, he's got Carlton this week, who are one of the easiest they give up the most points to defenders. He's then got a couple of interesting ones, but then he's got Bulldogs and St Kilda as well, kind of in his next six or seven.
Bulldogs, yeah. Yeah, he does.
There are still some good matchups, but he is someone that, yeah, in previous years, I would never pay this much money for Luke Ryan, and I probably won't again this year. I'll just hope that he comes down like he historically has before.
Be interesting to see if Chapman at all impacts him, just because, you know, Chapman's also a good player.
Yeah.
That we're playing down back, I'm really clutching at straws. I think he's, given the, I guess, additional kickouts, he's scoring well with Jordan Clark scoring incredibly well.
Yeah.
I mean, is Jordan Clark, I mean, he's pretty much gone above 110 in all his games this year. Is he someone that should be on our radars? I mean, he comes in a lot cheaper.
He's probably one that I kind of missed in that, like, when we're looking in that range, kind of, I was talking up Mitch Hinge a bit. There was other people talking up Wanganeen Malira, Kadeen Coleman, Will Powell. I think Will Powell's actually turning into a great option. But, yeah, Jordan Clark could be. I still think I want to see it for a bit longer and potentially see it with Chapman back as well. He's doing everything. Like, Jordan Clark is, and to the eye test, especially that game against Adelaide, he just tore them apart and he looked amazing. So he could be a keeper. I mean, before the season or maybe after round one, JD tweeted that there could be like 15 players that average 105 this year in defense, whereas last year there was only six, and the way it's going, there could be.
He looks incredible. Like,
yeah.
It's actually quite funny. His time on ground's starting to get worse, but his points per minute is getting better. I think at 500K, this is the last week to probably do it. He's going to go up another 30K. It just doesn't feel as good as, I guess, we'll call them proven primos. You know, the Houston, the Stewart, the Sheasel, Dacos. It just doesn't feel like he's in the same category to me. But, you know, if this is all you can afford, I think he's the best sub 500K.
But then
maybe option across the board, to be honest.
I guess then you compare it, you can pay only 50K more and get a Lockie Whitfield, for example, who's, you know, going at 117 and has done it before, is probably more where I'd lean just based on, like, what we know from the past. But yeah, I'm not going to talk anyone out of Jordan Clark if they believe in him. He has looked amazing.
Yeah, and obviously has a great buy as well. So
yeah, yeah.
We really could have, if you'd gone buy heavy and you picked Houston, Ryan, and Clark, you'd be very happy right now.
Yeah, you would.
All righty, so we'll jump into the midfield. There's been some interesting dramas afoot, namely around my players, not by chance. This is by design. Super Coach gods have cursed me. And we have Liberatore, as I guess some people are discussing whether or not he should be traded out. He got subbed out at three-quarter time. Kind of mixed reports. They said it was injury, and then they were like, maybe it's tactical, actually. And then he went, said he was a bit sore, and then he went for scans, and we don't know what the results of that. I don't think he's injured. Doesn't really seem like, seems like it was all precautionary. You know, we've paid 618K and we've got 100 average, which is painful. Pig, I'll ask you first, because this is my life that I'm living and it's depressing, but would you trade someone like Libba based on how it's been going this season?
I think for these guys, Libba, we'll put Dawson and maybe even LDU in the same boat. Is it if you still believe that they're going to be a keeper? And for a keeper midfielder, I generally define that as if will they average 110 for the year? If you still think that they'll average 110 from now, then I would probably lean towards keeping them. Although it is so frustrating, and I feel for you just because you never know when they're going to turn it around, if at all. If you see any of these guys and you don't think they're kind of going to average 110, like there were some people talking about maybe Libba was going to regress this year anyway. And if you were in one of those camp, well, you probably wouldn't have started him, but if you were...
probably not.
then, yeah, then you could trade out. But, yeah, they're gonna leak some cash, but like as we say, you don't actually lose the money on that investment unless you trade them out at a lower price and then try and get them back in. So I would be holding, and I guess I am in the same boat because LDU thought he was on the buy this week and he didn't show up either.
Yep.
And I'm pretty comfortable holding him because I'm pretty comfortable, confident that LDU is 110 plus averager for the rest of the year. So that's where I sit, but you've got two of them. How do you feel about Dawson and Libba?
So ironically, I feel better about, actually, I don't know if, actually, let me start that sentence again because now I'm second guessing myself. I feel better about Libba because he's playing well, like eye test wise. I know he got subbed out, but he still got subbed out three quarter time and scored 98, right?
Yeah, he would have had a 120, you would think.
Like for sure. And against Raul, he put out 115, and that was like a tough head to head matchup. And to be honest, I thought he played better than that. I mean, he's looked really good in every game. It's just unfortunate that he was a bit sore. So I'm not too disheartened watching Libba play. He's just a very good player. Dawson is more of a worry for me because he's been space jammed. They've just sapped his abilities. I mean, I saw him running just out of the middle and kicking it on the full. Or I think it was on halfback actually, and he just like kicked it straight on the full. I'm like, it's Jordan Dawson just plumping it out in the full. With minimal pressure. I don't understand what is going on right now. The confidence is just absolutely crushed. I can understand people trading out Dawson a lot more than the others because, one, he hasn't passed the eye test. I mean, he's getting a lot of the ball, but he's using it terribly. And two, there is no guarantee that Dawson turns this around like in the next 3, 4, 5 weeks. Like he could have half a dozen more stinkers and, you know, get down to 450K for all we know. And then I would have wished I traded him out at 590K.
And devil's advocate, the second half of last year, from memory, he wasn't kind of one of those top line midfielders. I'm pretty sure he dropped off kind of after his buy. So is that kind of more what he is as well? But I agree.
Possibly.
There's some monsters running around somewhere with Jordan Dawson's powers on the footy field somewhere. we got to find a way to get him back.
I mean, look, I'm going to hold him because I like that he's getting a lot of the ball. I don't like that he's missing the kicks, and I'm just going to hope that he turns it around. There's nothing more to it than hope.
Yeah.
I don't have any facts that say he would. I wouldn't blame you if you want to trade him out to someone like Tuk Miller and bank a tiny bit of cash. You know, Tuk's flying at the moment. He's got a nice draw. Gold Coast look really quite solid. He's got a good role. It's totally fine. You want to do that, do that. Even if you wanted to get someone like Sarong, who really looks like he's gone to the next level, no harm, no foul there.
I would say if you are wanting to trade out Dawson or Libba, I wouldn't probably go down to like a Steel or a Tuk that's kind of borderline that 110. I'd just pay the money and get like a Sarong or a Butters or a Tongreen, I'd go up if that makes sense and get.
Yeah. Once if you have all of them.
If you've got all of those players, then you're probably ranked number one.
I've seen some good Supercoach sides with all three of those and Bont and Steele, and I'm like, oh my God.
I'd say
that's how you nail your midfield.
Connor Rosie is also someone that's probably let teams down to start the year. Like, he's averaging 102. His last two rounds, he's gone a 90 and a 102. He's someone that he's also randomly been let down by his kicking and disposal efficiency the last couple of matches. So he's someone that I'm very confident bounces back. He's in my team, but he's also, like, I was never expecting him to be a 118 kind of guy. Like, we're hoping Dawson or Libra or LDU could be. I just want him to get back to 110 at his price. And yeah, so I'm not too worried about him.
I'm more considering upgrading some of my more fringe guys and getting my structures right, getting the right rookies, get rid of the non-playing players. I'm more focusing on that cash gen than really focusing so much on the Libra and the Dawsons. I mean, Dawson probably makes a great upgrade at some point when he turns it around. And I definitely would wait for him to turn around before jumping on that. But as it stands, I'm not interested in getting rid of him. It just really sucks, but sometimes you just have to grit your teeth and bear through it, I think.
And that's a good point, that this is probably one of the last weeks to get these rookies that are rocketing up in price and make sure you're on the right ones. Last week was obviously the best week to do it while most were on the bubble. But I think there's still the option to probably jump on some that have risen or are about to rise. So I agree. This is probably one more week to get your cash generation right before messing around with premiums, I think.
So the rookies, let's just have a quick chat about them. I think most people are eyeing off Sam Darcy as their trade-in target this week. And then you've got some other people looking at someone like Oliver Dempsey. 219K. He's already gone up 71K, but he's looked really good and impressed a lot of people. Are you looking in this category? And if you are, do you have any concerns for either of these players?
I'm not. I think I've got enough rookies all making money. And that does, I will preface it, that does include like Sam Berry and Tom Berry and Alex Sexton. I'm not really looking to get off them to get to another rookie because I think they've still got a lot of money to make. I think that last Gold Coast game was a bit of an aberration where they pretty much had jet lag flying down to Ballarat. It was crap conditions. They had Humphrey go out. They had all had to play forward. I think that was just a game that I'm going to throw in the bin and kind of back Berry and Sexton. So that's kind of why I'm not trading off of them. I could see why people would, but they've still got really low break even. So essentially, apart from my R3 ruck loophole, all my other cash cow spots are still making money, I think. So I'm not necessarily going to force a trade. If you did, I think Sam Darcy's an option if he's named. There is concerns that, like, he didn't do a huge amount in that last game. He kind of saved his score in the last quarter, but they essentially played him full-time ruck in that last quarter because they were dominating the Eagles and they rested English and Bont and Libba. But also Rory Lobb has kicked 9 goals in 2 VFL games. I think he's averaging 22 hitouts as well. So he's dominating the VFL. There's a worry that Rory Lobb comes back in, whether it's this week or next, and kind of kills Sam Darcy. My gut feeling is that they kind of do the same thing. So why wouldn't you just play the young kid? But
yeah,
not super confident in that. And then I guess the other option is guys that have risen in price but are still affordable. I remember this time last year, a lot of people jumped on Bailey Humphrey when he was low 200K and he still made so much money. So if they've got a good scoring role and potential and low break even, these guys still could make you the 150K. So I'm talking about even Aaron Cadman has a break even of negative 51, Harvey Thomas, negative 52.
Yep.
Jack Carroll, Ollie Dempsey, Jeremy Sharp, all of those guys are potential options and they've risen. If you don't have Riley Sanders, Matt Roberts, or Colby McKercher, it's probably not even too late to get them. Matt Roberts is a bit more expensive, and Colby as well, but I wouldn't say it's too late to get on these guys, but you kind of have to have the confidence that they'll be putting out 80s now, I think.
Yeah.
Because
I feel more comfortable with Roberts and McKercher, I think, in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah, and even I would even say Sanders. I think he's great. But so, like, Ollie Dempsey has been awesome, and he just scored a ton, but he's also someone that I still think could, you know, give you a 50 or a 60, and that kind of stalls his cash gen at that. Like, when that 100 goes out of his rolling cycle, and if he's got a couple of 60s in there, he's probably not making you that 150K. So it really, I think it really depends, and you have to have faith that that these guys will average 70 from now. So essentially pretend you're buying like Jack Billings or Zach Williams kind of price, and it's that mid-pricer, and we needed them to go 70s or 80s. So if you're buying these rookies at an elevated price, pretend they're them and ask yourself if they can go 70s or 80s is where I would say it lands.
Yeah, I think Sam Darcy is definitely fraught with danger, but he is on track, I believe, to get ruck status, and that DPP could be super valuable. I believe this year you need 4 out of 6 games. Someone correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's what I've read that as well.
So he, despite not playing the first one, you know, he can still make it. And I think, yeah, he's on track to get that ruck status, according to Jaden. Thanks very much, Jaden. So that definitely makes me feel a bit, I guess the risk might be worth the reward in that case, because then you could hold him a bit longer and, you know, pending what happens with Grundy, you know, that there could be some different plays going around that, as well as utilizing Conway, who played for Geelong this week. He looks good, but I don't know. We need to watch him again and see if he's going to be Supercoach relevant or not. But yeah, all this stuff helps in my decision making. I think someone like I don't like any of the other, like Harvey Thomas, so I know he's got a low break, even Buku. I don't think I like trading any of these guys. I just don't think they're going to make enough money. Dempsey's really the only one that I think can make another 100K, but I do think the opportunity to make 150K is probably lost after missing that first price rise. And then I question, is it worth it? And I think the answer will come down to, it's worth it if you have not many money-making rookies. I've seen some benches where people have Mana and they have some other loop that they took, as well as their ruck loop, and then they have 2 defender injuries.
Yeah, okay. That's a bit of a different situation, isn't it?
I've seen quite a few teams that are already, you know, they don't have that many, I guess, cash-generating players. And I feel like if that's the case, you need to get them this, like you need to prioritize that money this week, in which case you have to kind of get the Darcy and the Dempsey to try and kickstart your cash gen. That's something I've focused on. I mean, yeah, I have Hoare at D8 as my one non-playing rookie, as well as my loophole. So I've prioritized playing rookies. I mean, obviously they could all get dropped this week and that would suck for me, but I guess my strategy is make a lot of money now and try and finish strong, because I certainly haven't started hot. And I think if you're in a similar boat, and even if you're not, you need to prioritize your cash in to be able to get through the season. We have more trade, so you can do a bit of a shuffle. The only one that's, like, I guess, relatively cheap, and now because they scored 13 in their first game, didn't really rise that much, is Jai Clark. He's put out 60 and 68 and is 156K. Do you think, I mean, that's not like you're trading in a mid-pricer. You know, he's 60K cheaper than some others. Would you consider him? I mean, he has been one of the, I guess, worst rookies.
Well, yeah, I actually would. I think he's still got a fair bit of money to make. Like you said, that was it a 13 or something his first week should come out of his rolling average. So,
yeah,
he's a good player. Like, just watching him as well, he's very, like, super coach wise, he is very fumbly and jittery, which is a bit annoying, but he's only played a handful of games as well. So I think he'll keep getting better. So I think if you are looking like for another midfielder, where that's him, Sharp, Carroll, he's probably the one, just because he's cheaper and he has to average less to make his money. But yeah, just going back to what you were talking about before, if you do have dead rookies, like let's say it's Manor or whoever it is, I do absolutely think that getting these cash generators in is like priority one. And I probably would rank them if we go through. I probably would go Sam Darcy number one. I think if he's named, I think he's worth the risk because, like you said, he's only 123K. He's got a chance to get ruck status. He's got a break even of negative 92, which is insane. So he's probably priority one. I would then probably rank them. I'd probably go like Colby McKercher, Matt Roberts, Riley Sanders. If you don't have one of them, I don't think it's too late. I think you should still get them because they'll make a lot of money. And then I probably go Ollie Dempsey after them. And then maybe it's Jai Clark after him is probably how I'd do it. Even though Dempsey's a bit cheaper than those three midfielders, I think they're going to make more money than him because just the way they're scoring.
No, that's very interesting. So if I were to throw, I guess, some of the mid prices in the mix, those that didn't take Tom Powell last week, he's 375K, came out with another 92, 29 disposal. You know what? You're in this position, Pig. As I'm talking, I'm realizing.
Yeah.
How do you prioritize those rookies and Tom Powell? Do you still go for Darcy first, or do you prioritize a potential keeper in Powell?
Yeah, this is a tough one because, like, you and I talked about this a few weeks ago when we were.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Saying, like, do we talk about, do we get a rookie or do we get a Harry Mackay or a Jesse Hogan? And at that stage, we said get the rookie because they're probably going to make the same amount of cash, but then you've got 300K, you know, more available to do other things with. It's probably the same situation here. I'd probably say do go the rookie. But the difference with Powell is that he potentially could be a keeper. So you could also be saving yourself kind of a trade by getting him in now at cheaper. So it's a real toss-up, actually, I think, because Powell could probably make as much money as these rookies. It's what else are you doing with that 300K? Like if, say, you're getting a rookie and then a Tom Green, or are you getting a Powell and a, I don't even know who's around that price, like a Massimo or something, that's not as enticing. Not that I think many people are trading in Mass, but someone around that price.
There's a lot trading in Bramble, actually.
All right, let's say that.
A little bit more expensive, but people are going that route.
Yeah, like if you getting the rookie allows you to get Tom Green, but you getting Powell means you have to settle with like a Bramble or something, I wouldn't do that. Even though you potentially may be getting the same amount of keepers, but I just think Tom Green is a captain material and kind of must have as well. Not necessarily must have right now because he does have another buy coming up, but must have by the end of it. So I would think I'd go the rookie and the Uber Primo over, like, say, Powell and a Bramble. But if you can still do another good trade, like I am bringing in Flanders and then I still have the cash to bring in Powell, I'm actually doing that, or at the moment in my Tuesday plans, I'm doing that instead of bringing in Flanders and a rookie. And that's just because I don't want 200K just sitting on my in the bank doing nothing on a best 22 week. I want to try and make up some ground this week as well.
So what, watching Powell for another week, I know last week you weren't super hot on him. You were, I think, to quote you, not verbatim, but it was, you know, if he's a keeper, I'll pay 500K for him.
Yeah.
So what changed?
Well, I'm still not convinced on picking him. But Actually, part of the reason is that he's the best I could afford with my leftover money. And that's not always a great reason to pick someone.
Terrible.
Yeah. But then also, like I said, do I just get a rookie instead and have 200K sitting there? I'm not, that's not a great use of cash necessarily. But look, I watched this game really closely because I didn't own him and it seemed like every single person in the world was trading him in. So I watched it really closely. I hadn't watched the North games. Well, I watched the Giants one earlier in the year and kind of noticed him, but not that well. I don't think I didn't watch the Freo one, but then I watched this one really closely and it's interesting. There are two ways you can go about it. Like he was at nearly all the center bounces. He was even linking up through the middle of the ground. Like when they were kicking out a D50, he was often the one getting on the end of it. So you can look at it two ways. Like you can look at it as he still scored a 90 despite pretty average disposal efficiency. Playing against Carlton, who are one of the hardest midfields, you know, he's only going up from here. Or you could easily just look at it as he needed 29 disposals and one goal to only just crack a 90, and he's not going to do that every week. So I still haven't decided which fence I'm sitting on or if I'm sitting right in the middle of it. but I think I did see enough to think he can average 90. Like, that was a great game he played, but also he turned it over, or not necessarily turned over, but his disposal efficiency was pretty average. And if he cleans that up, that probably could have been a 105, even against Carlton. So that does make me think maybe he can average the 90 to be a keeper. And I did, like, there is a part of me that also has to trust some of the judgment of other people, like in Slack. We've been talking about Tom a bit. I think I even put a poll out asking what people think he'll average. I think I got 40 responses and there was maybe only 5 people that didn't think he would, that thought he'd average less than 90, and 35 said he'd go at least 90, with quite a few of them saying he'll go 95 plus. So potentially a little bit of herd mentality there, but when I guess a lot of experienced coaches are saying, no, this guy can be a 90, there's a part of me that thinks maybe I should be listening to that as well. I'm not fully sure yet. I haven't actually, right now he's in my team because I could afford him, but I'll have to work out if I get a rookie instead, say it's Sam Darcy, what I can do with that 200K next week. Is that worth it?
Yeah, I think there's some wisdom in the crowd there with Tom Powell. I think the way, you know, that I saw it last week hasn't really changed, in that there's a low bar for us getting these keepers in the line. He's got the role, another 89% CBAs. So the role is good. 29 possessions is really good, no matter, I guess, how you look at it. Even Jordan Dawson, 29 possessions is quite good. But, you know, his forward and his 375K. You know, I would like that if that was Jordan Dawson forward and 375K. But, it just feels like a gimme at this point. So I'm still sitting in the category of, if you missed him last week, it's still not too late.
Yeah.
375K isn't that expensive. So you can still grab him this week. If you don't grab him this week, it starts getting into the point of, okay, he's going to be probably around 420K, and then it might be a wait and see after that. So not an easy matchup this week against Brisbane in Norwood Oval either. So will be interesting, but I'm pretty confident that he'll be a keeper, or at least get us through most of the season. I just want to quickly touch on something that's fun to think about, and that was the whole Hogan versus Berry versus Mackay sort of situation,
yep,
and how that all played out. Because Hogan scored a 66 against West Coast and made 49K in his first price rise, and because of that score, owners will probably end up only making around 70 to 80K max.
Yeah.
And then need to jump off him. And I think we're all pretty much thinking, you know, if you've invested 400K or 420K or whatever it was into him, that's probably not enough. And that's probably a flop. Although Tom Berry put out that 24, so people who picked him up for 163K, a lot of them cashed out, and he only made 44K. And you know, pending how he goes this week, he's probably also only going to make 70 to 80K. So you're going to get similar money making, but of course this one costs you less. So still a win for the Tom Berry owners, but it wasn't like anything drastic. The interesting one is Mackay. He's going to make probably, given he scored 137, he's going to make closer to 150K himself, and potentially be a keeper. Is there anything we can do to reflect upon this decision, to try and help us, I guess, pick the Mackays and not the Hogans, and not the Berries? Is there something we could have done to, I guess, improve our ability so that we don't make the same mistakes next time?
I wouldn't have seen much difference coming into the Hogan versus Mackay about which one you should pick. They both had like a couple of really nice matchups in there that have definitely helped them.
Yep. But
then even Hogan put out that 60, I believe, was against West Coast, which you would have expected a bigger one. So for me, the Hogan versus Mackay, I don't know what we can take away from why Hogan went better and Mackay didn't. Sorry, the other way around, why Mackay went better and Hogan didn't, because they're both in really good teams. They're both kind of like in top four looking teams against easy opposition. Yeah, that one's a bit tough. Maybe it's that Hogan kind of plays with three other key forwards and Mackay plays with one, but I don't know. That's just a stab in the dark.
I think it's just an interesting conversation topic. I think if Mackay wasn't on the bye, I think everyone would have chosen him over Hogan, despite a slightly, I guess Hogan had a lower break even, and that's probably just because of price. He was a tiny bit cheaper, so I think people may have lent that way.
Yep.
So I don't think there was too much in it. I think it just goes to show that, you know, one, it's just like shows how the risks work. You know, one time you do it and it just fails and now you're going to have to eject Hogan next week. And the other way, it works out perfectly. You make your 150K, maybe even more. Maybe even get a keeper out of it and everything lights up and you're doing amazing.
I still think going for the rookie is the right play. Like Sam Berry hasn't obviously made as much money as Mackay, but because he's still so cheap, he could still restart, you know, with another good score and then end up making 150K still. I haven't ruled out Tom Berry at all. So I think he's still an option. And because he's a rookie, the risk is a lot less that they can just restart at any time. And you don't have 300K invested in them. So, I don't know. My takeaway, even though Berry hasn't worked out compared to Mackay, is that I would still pick Berry again.
All right, I'm going to throw you again on the spot because I am enjoying doing that quite a lot. Some people are correcting, you know, I think Wines has now been ruled out for a couple of weeks. So, some people have some cash to burn.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at a player to bring in, and people at this stage of the season are usually trying to bring in the best guys they missed.
Yeah.
Less about value, given the prices haven't changed so significantly. I think there's many people that are deciding between combination of Heaney versus Flanders versus Green versus Sarong, even versus Butters. How do you sort of rank those guys as trading options?
Well, I guess Heaney's a really interesting one because he gets one game this week against West Coast. Should absolutely dominate. I don't know what he'll go up to. He might go up to kind of 630 or 640 or something if you don't get him now. But then he has a bye, so I wouldn't really be trading anyone, even if it is someone as amazing as Heaney, like a week before a bye. Imagine if it was a normal year and you're kind of doing that before a mid-season bye. That would look a bit random.
Yep.
So I probably wouldn't get Heaney. Like, if you don't have Heaney now, that sucks, but hopefully you've got another good forward, like maybe you got Jackson or someone instead. So Flanders for me is actually probably priority one, and that's mainly because he has forward status, and I guess the more of these reasonably good forwards we can get, so whether it's Flanders or even, this is actually going back to another reason why I might have come around to Tom Powell, is that getting Flanders and Powell in the forward line could potentially push guys like Wilson and Berry off the field, because there are some teams that might have to field those kind of players, those rookies.
Yeah, it's me. I'm those teams.
Yeah, so I was fielding those rookies, but now I've brought Flanders and Powley and I can push those guys to the bench and not worry about their 30. So that's why I really like Flanders to bring him in. He's also got a break even of 73. He probably rockets past that. He'll be going up in cash pretty quick, but it's the forward status that really does it for me with Flanders. Then I guess there's other, he wouldn't really be bringing Luke Jackson in, even though he's flying, but it looks like there's actually Sean Darcy is probably back next week is what Freo was saying.
Yeah.
Then we're talking about the midfielders. Green, Butters, Sarong. Are they probably the three hot ones, do you think?
Absolutely. They're the ones to decide between. They're all similar. They're all within 10K
yeah.
of each other.
Look, I probably rank them based on where we... So at the start of the season, we talked about this last week, talking about Butters versus... Or 2 weeks ago, I think, Butters versus Sarong. I think most of us had Butters projected to score more than Sarong for the year. I probably still don't see that changing. I think Butters should do a little bit more. It'll only be small. Sarong also hasn't copped a tag yet, and we know he can be susceptible to one. So I've probably got Butters above Sarong. Tom Green's the interesting one because he does have another buy in round 12, not that far away, and Butters has a really good buy. But I don't know.
As does Sarong.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, they both have really good buys. So it's weighing up the Tom Green could kind of put 5 points on those two every week. I wouldn't be surprised. But also he then doesn't have that good buy. So I'd probably maybe have a look at your team and see how many players you have on that round 12 buy, because if you're going to be missing a heap of premiums, Tom Green probably isn't for you. Like if, but I'm just going to do it now literally and see. Oh, I have quite a few. So like I've got Heaney, Tom Powell, Luke Davies-Uniacke, Harry Sheasel, Tom Green, Colby McKercher, if he's still there. So I'm actually potentially missing quite a few players on that. So if you were in the same boat, I probably wouldn't get Green. I'd probably get Butters or Sarong. But also missing Tom Green till then will hurt you a bit. But also having said that, I guess on the flip side, Tom Green's only averaging 10 more points than Butters and about the same as Sarong, despite having played West Coast and North. So Green's kind of had two of his really good matchups as well.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of my way of talking through it, that I think I'll now rank them Butters, Sarong, Green, but only because of the buys is why I put Green down there, because you've probably got quite a few players on that round 12 buy and may not want to add another one. If you've only got two premiums on that round 12 buy, then kind of ignore that and just pick the best one.
So I actually agree with your ranking of Butters, Sarong, Green.
All right.
But I think if I ranked how I think they look this season in terms of eye test, it's probably Sarong, Green, Butters. But the reason I'm choosing the order that you said is just the fixtures are really quite good for Butters. I mean, he plays four of the next five at Adelaide Oval, but yep, they're good teams to play against, like Essendon, Fremantle, Collingwood, Saints, and then, you know, Adelaide, Geelong, Hawthorn, North. It's
yeah,
a really
nice
run. I don't see too many people sitting on him in that run of games. Think he could explode. I'm quite worried as a non-owner. I think Sarong looks better on the eye test-wise. He seems to have taken his game to another level. I think having Fife in the middle really helps him because, one, Fife can get the handball out to him, and two, it's a big body to help protect him if someone's sitting on him. You know, Fife can kind of get in the way and set blocks and screens and all that sort of fancy stuff. It's just the next two games, Carlton and Port, I'm not expecting it, but I wouldn't be surprised if Hewitt sat on him.
Well, that actually, I think just statistically as well, the two hardest matchups are inside mids. So data says that could be hard as well, not even accounting for Hewitt.
And in Port, with Wines out, I imagine Drew just moves into the midfield role. And if Drew's there, like surely Drew just sits on Sarong. It's such a perfect matchup in terms of like size, body sizes between them both. Drew probably does really well on Sarong, to be honest. So it's enough that when I'm splitting hairs between them, then I'm going Butters and the goodbye as well. So yeah, I think I'd back your order there. But it's certainly a discussion.
I like how we got there, but for different reasoning. So that's interesting. And we hadn't talked about that beforehand.
No. And Flanders is, look, I like getting these big mids now because I don't like paying 650K later in the season. Like, I think all of these players will be cheaper than they are now. Yeah. Like, it's the corrective time this week. But Flanders, I hate the matchup against GWS. I don't think he's going to score well this week. So I think he might hover around the price, but also he's the highest chance of me being wrong and him going up to like 580K. So he has Hawthorn in the following week and then Swans and then West Coast.
Yeah.
Then Brisbane, then North Melbourne. So every second week is quite easy. I feel like I just, as you said, lock away a top six guy. So I feel comfortable doing that, but I don't love the matchup. I actually like Gather Round. It's a great spectacle, but it throws up wild Supercoach scores. I find it really hard to predict
how
teams are going to go at Adelaide Hills and Norwood Oval. Like, there's going to be some weird sort of rookie results and weird sort of results all around. So it's hard to get an accurate read on it.
I might. Sorry, as we go on, there's one more thing I've just thought about while we're talking about next week and buys is that Brody Grundy owners. Get Brody Grundy versus West Coast this week, which hopefully is a good one.
Yes, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
This is kind of why you've potentially held him for now, hoping he makes a bit of money. He actually lost $700 last week, but that means that his break even's probably achievable and he should make you, you know, 20, 30K maybe. But then he has the bye, and then he goes Jared Witts, and then he goes Hawthorn. Whether Reeves is back or not, Reeves is kind of the restrictive one, but Meek can be as well. So Brody Grundy owners are probably starting to think about when they should jump off. And I would actually say maybe it is next week after his bye. So I think when you're making your trades this week, have that in the back of your mind. Like, if you're considering getting in, like we said, it's a Tom Powell, but then you've got $0 versus do you get Sam Darcy in, you have 200K in the bank, but then that allows you to go Grundy to English or Grundy to Marshall next week. Just have a think about that as well. Like, you might want to save some cash in the kitty to get off Grundy next week because he has a bye and then two hard matchups and his cash gen might be just about done.
All I'm hearing is Conway, Grundy to Conway next week. Then you wait it out for Darcy to get forward DPP and then you use your Conway Darcy loop as at your R2 spot and play the game super risky. That's what I'm hearing while you're talking to me.
Geez, that is the opposite of how I just don't muck around in my ruck line. I just get two set and forgets and then just never look at them again. Also, Chris Scott today was praising Conway, but in his praise he said he's not ready to play back-to-back games. We'll probably manage him a bit and see how he goes. Pretty much like our goal is to get him playing back-to-back games by the end of the year, but he's not ready for that yet. So Conway may not play this week.
He may not, but he also
may.
So we'll see how that one goes.
Anyway, I was just saying Grundy owners, have your plan and your potential cash in the bank because after this matchup, his next 3 weeks are going to be hard.
Oh, we got Meek at 357K.
I love Meek.
Darcy Cameron dropping. There's a lot of fun to be had.
I am setting
none of them are Tim English.
I'm setting English and Gorn for the rest of the year, and I'm not touching him.
Even Marshall. I mean, look.
Yeah, well, if one of them
English
gets injured,
does look on another level.
Yeah, English should have had a 150 on the weekend, but then Bevo'd him and just played him at full forward the whole last quarter because they were winning by so much. I'm confident in close games that doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's a bit rough. All right, so last one before we head off. People are considering trading out, I guess, some of the mid prices that haven't made too much money. So talking more about the James Jordan, the Billings, the Fife, perhaps, even Zach Fisher. Not quite mid-pricer, but Windsor, I guess, falls into that category. Well, it doesn't fall in the category, but could join the conversation. How do you see those as priorities? Like, would you be pressing the panic trade out button now, or are some of them will you be holding on for a spike score, or what's your thoughts behind a lot of those guys?
James Jordan, you could definitely hold for one more week against West Coast. Like, he could have another good score and still make you a little bit, but if he is kind of your cash to someone else, like if it's you need his cash to get to Flanders, he can easily go. There's talk about Taylor Adams coming back. Like, he played VFL, but also I think might be suspended because he did a dangerous tackle or something. But either way, Taylor Adams will be back soon. So I think James Jordan, you can either hold him a week for that West Coast and a bit more money. But if he's, yeah, if he's your ticket to Sanders or maybe Flanders, sorry, or maybe even Powell, I would pull that trigger. Billings, I'm pretty done with. Like, I was a bit annoyed that I ended up trading him in and then trading him out for 60K. But he did look good in that first role against the Bulldogs and then just didn't keep it up. So Billings can definitely go. Fife I'd potentially hold just because I think his break-even's still okay. He's another one. You probably could get rid of him for if he's the cash you need for those good guys, but I don't see the desperation to get rid of Fife at the moment. Windsor I'd probably just hold to his buy, but he doesn't look that amazing. But like he is a kind of an eye test silky player. Maybe he could have a spike game. I'll give him two more chances to do that. Who else we got? Zach Williams is still fine, gonna keep making money. Anyone else on your mind?
I guess Zach Fisher for those that held.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think he can go. I just don't think he's a keeper, which we kind of hoped he maybe would be when we started him in round one. He obviously had an average score, then turned up and another average score. So I think that's just what he is. Like, they seem to fluctuate a bit with him. I wouldn't really be mucking around with him too much, especially if he's more expensive than a lot of those guys. So he's probably an easy ticket to Flanders or someone like that.
Yeah, I think that's a move. Just cull Fisher. It's tough with Billings. If he wasn't a sub risk, I'd be inclined to hold because you know he can have those spike games. But because I think he could very well be a sub, it's just it's an unfortunate cash out situation for me. James Jordan and Fife, I kind of feel like you only move them if you're desperate. I really think James Jordan, even though he hasn't really passed the eye test for me personally, he still put out 3-8 scores in the 80s and the 65 against Richmond. You know, West Coast, Gold Coast, Hawthorn in the next 3 weeks. I'd be surprised if he didn't have another 30 to 50K to make. But is that enough when the player you're trading in, let's say it's Flanders, goes up 20, 30K? It might be worth just making the move now. But I don't think you necessarily need to trade out someone like Jordan. And I feel similarly about Fife in that, yes, he hasn't set the world alight. I mean, he's not been... I think he's been much better on the eye test than his Supercoach scores suggest. In fact, I think he's looking eye test-wise better and better despite not scoring necessarily better and better. It's just he seems like somebody that will have a spike score at some stage. Like Fife will turn up, I think, at some point, and that will kickstart his cash gen. And hopefully by that stage, you still have him in your side and you can take advantage of that. But I guess it's how long you're willing to wait and how low will low go. Like, is he going to really be putting up 50s and 60s on your field? Because you may as well have a rookie if you're going to do that. My inclination would be to hold Fife and Jordan if you can. Windsor, as far as I'm concerned, I think a wide roll on a wing, chances of a spike are low. Adelaide is a relatively tough matchup. Brisbane, also hard. Then the bye gets a bit easier after that. But you'd really, I think you trade out Windsor at any point. I don't think he's going to have one of those games where he's going to drop like 30K. but he's not going, like, I think he will have a spike game. So it just means you got to pick the timing to trade him out. And you could very well be holding him past his first buy. You might be holding him all the way to that round 14 buy and just forgetting about him, pretending he doesn't exist until that spike happens. But if that's not for you and you need the cash this week, I could also see you trading out to Darcy and just taking the 100K and just calling it a restructure in your side.
Yeah, I don't think any of those guys are like urgent, really need to go. You could hold a lot of them and, like you said, hope for a spike score and try and kind of ride another wave of them. But also, if they are kind of your only ticket to Flanders or Powell or even in other lines, Whitfield or Took or someone, I wouldn't be against getting rid of them at all.
Yeah. All right. Unless you have any other, do you have any other talking points, topics you want to run through?
I was just having a little scroll through our podcast questions channel of the Slack. And one interesting one is about kind of guys like Gawn or Heaney that are absolutely going off and you're really feeling like a bit crap without having them. Is there any point trading them in before they buy, or do you just now wait till after they buy?
I mean, I don't think Heaney. I mean, Heaney's 600K. I feel like he is flying, don't get me wrong, but if I'm paying 600K for a player, I'd feel a lot better if getting Butters, you know?
Yep.
I feel like Heaney at some point is going to put out a 70 or 80, or it feels like a much higher likelihood than some of the other guys. It's just that fixture run is so good. You might be waiting until, you know, rounds 9 or 10 to get him in. And it's a bit of unfortunate suffering until then. I mean, you pointed out Gawn's great ruck run a lot, so I don't know if he's going to slow down anytime soon. He's probably at 643K. It's probably not a bad price. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I had him pegged potentially as one of the high scoring, if not the high scoring player in the game. So This might be the last week to get him. Otherwise, it gets to quite a ridiculous price. I don't think he can maintain. You know, if you can shift to Grundy. I know it's before West Coast, so it's not ideal. If you can grab him this week, might be okay, but that's only, you know, he's got round 4 or 5 and then the bye. But if you miss this week and then it's 1 week before the bye, you're probably just not pulling that trigger and you're just waiting for a down game at that point.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And then another question was around kind of the guys coming off their buys that have potential to be keepers. So like Whitfield, Took Miller, Tom Green are kind of been the main ones mentioned. How do you feel about trading those guys in now? Like, is it just time to go for them? Is there any of them that you don't like? Like, how do you rate Whitfield's gate this year?
Look, I am having quite a hard time judging GWS players in general because of who they've played. I know that's not their fault. They don't play either West Coast or North again for the rest of the season. GWS, they look really good as a side, but again, who have they played? Personally, I don't love it. I don't feel comfortable trading in any GWS players or premiums because I just don't feel like I can trust any of them. Especially down back, I feel like you might be able to take a punt on a Clark or a Powell, but I still feel like Whitfield's kind of in the same category, but a little bit better. It's ridiculous as that sounds, but not that much better. I don't think he's in the same category as a Ryan or a Houston or a Dacos or a Sheasel. I think they're all in a better category. And pretty much all of those top guys down back fall to like 550-ish at some stage of the season. And I think if you can manage to wait, you know, 2 weeks more data, you know, or 3 weeks, if we get to the end of these buys, I don't think you're trading in any defenders because you're swinging all these rookies into your back line that get defensive status. And I think you might do a lot better just having the extra information and not being forced into a defender primo who might not even be a top-of-the-line primo in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a good point about, you know, nearly saving spots for the DPP coming because we will probably want to put Roberts back, and we may want to put Martin or McKercher back to then bring in midfielders. So, yeah, loading up on the defenders maybe isn't the right time. Yeah, thoughts? That's a fair point, I think, as well.
Maybe if you're avoiding a zero donut on the field this week, you could probably look at doing it, and that's fair enough. But I think, yeah, if you manage to get your Howes to D6 and you can just survive for 1 week, I think that's the play. And then, yeah, use those DPPs, like you said, when they come at the end of the bye rounds.
Yep, no, I agree. And then the other question was kind of about, which I think we've kind of covered, it's those underperforming rookies. Do we flip them to the hot ones that have already gone up in price, like Dempsey and stuff? And we kind of said that if you have a dead rookie that's not making any money, yeah, do that. But if you've got kind of one that should still chug along and make money, I'm not sure it's really worth it. But one of that question came because Harley Reid was someone's concern. He hasn't really set the world on fire, but I feel like there will be a spike score coming from him at some stage, hopefully.
Absolutely. It's the same as Darcy Wilson to me. At some stage, as we saw in the preseason where Darcy Wilson turned up, like, the spike scores do happen. You just need to be patient and try and get them off your field as long as you can. So not really interested in trading Wilson or Reed and just kind of waiting and waiting until they make it, you know, have a spike score and make enough money, because I think both of those guys have it in them to have a really big game. So as long as you don't wait, you know, the whole season, I feel like in the first 10 weeks, it's likely that it's coming and you can sell them for a really nice price.
Yeah, I think that's happy. My internet's giving me a bit of grief, so if you want to go ahead and wrap up, I think that's totally fair.
Awesome. Well, thanks very much for joining me, Pig, and thanks everybody for listening in. If you have more questions, you can find myself at pistol_DISC. You can find Pig at pig_DISC. Find Chizo at Chizo_DISC and JB, surprise, surprise, at JB_DISC. Probably go to him given how he's going this season, dominating. Definitely my first port of call.
We'll catch him.
Advice. Maybe you will. my Libba and Dawson combo is, feel like I'm a, it's not even a tortoise and a hare. I'm way, there's a snail in this race that's somewhere lost. Just going sideways.
The patented pistol chase down. It doesn't have quite the same ring.
Yeah, no, there's probably a good reason for that. But anyway, thanks very much for joining me, and we'll catch you all next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.